making TV special.
Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
If anybody wants to know where cynicism is that there's two press people in this gallery. We're talking about Eric Massa, 24/7 on the TV. We're talking about War and Peace, $3 billion, 1,000 lives, and no press. No press. You want to know why the American public is fit? They're fit because they're not seeing their Congress do the work that they're sent to do. It's because the press of the United States is not covering the most significant issue of national importance, and that's the laying of lives down in the nation for the service of our country. It's despicable, the National Press Corps right now.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
I'm sure you can tell. It's in the air of our nation. It may shock you, the man's hallucination. But they're dead people. Though they dress well.
What's your name? You don't understand. Oh my God, I wish you could hear. Do it like this, do it like that. Can you switch it up? Send it right back. Frown to your back, smile in your face. Think I keep it real, but I keep it fake. Think I'm ahead, but I'm the ass man. I'm really sick, I really need a mask.
And now it's in the air, spreading everywhere. So you should be prepared.
Ain't no pill or cough syrup that can help, so you better hair up. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, hey, hey. They don't need a tongue. Instead they use the precious lungs. But the scariest thing, they don't look like they kill you, but they're still dead people dancing like Thriller.
Stand. Oh my God, let me shake your hand. Do it like this, do it like that. Can you switch it up? Send it right back. Frown to your back, smile in your face. Think I keep it real, but I keep it fake. Think I'm ahead, but I'm the ass man. I'm really sick, I really need a mask.
And now it's in the air, spreading everywhere. So you should be prepared.
Ain't no pill or cough syrup that can help, so you better hurry up.
Come on, come on, come on. Hey, hey, hey. It's in the air.
Get me now. One shitstorm of the situation. But I made it my guns to the biggest cloud. Stop Big Brother and his invasion.
Yeah.
Come on.
What's your name? You don't understand. Oh my God, let me shake your hand. Like this, do it like that. Can you switch it up? Send it right back. Frown to your back, smile in your face. Think I keep it real, but I keep it fake. Think I'm ahead, but I'm the ass man. I'm really sick, I really need a mask.
And now it's in the air, spreading everywhere. So you should be prepared.
Ain't no pill or cough syrup that can help, so you better hair up.
Come on, come on, come on. Hey, hey, hey. It's in the air.
From their brand new record, it's called Nothing. That's Nerd, N-E-R-D, No One Ever Really Dies. You may also know them as the Neptunes. That track, It's in the Air, quite fitting. And I love how, again, for those of you that maybe don't know, I come from a indie radio background. So I really want to add in new music. And with the way it's in the air, it makes it that much easier to find hot new music that has some shred of social commentary to it. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me formally welcome you to this B-Side episode 201 from Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. It's January 1st, 2011, and we're coming to you, as always, from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, in the People's Republic of Portlandia. And we'll have more on that in the upcoming episode 202. But this is hopefully going to be an audio-video episode. We've been working and struggling with our AV and Ustream and all of those things. And essentially what went down last week, as the videos have gotten better, I'm, long story short, destroying the stream from PRA. So for the live show, I can't do the streaming video as we've been doing it, so I'm not going to do any video at all for the upcoming episode 202. Because for the affiliates that carry the show live, if the stream is broken up, there's no point to any of it. So what I may try and do is make the B-sides the audio-video multimedia extravaganza. And even as I say that, Ustream boots me off. But again, folks, longtime listeners of the podcast, I hope all of this AV craziness hasn't driven you crazy. Because we're going to keep working at making Media Monarchy as cutting edge and as effective and as interesting and compelling to watch as well as listen to. So hopefully for the long time podcast listeners, all of this AV yada yada hasn't driven you insane. And again, hopefully it hasn't hurt the show. So hopefully dumping the video for the main show will give a little more focus on the news. So speaking of the news, let's do it. We're going to look at all the latest alternative news that I'm proud enough to be a part of. And of course, the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com for January 20th. It's the 60th episode of the weekly video series between myself and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. This week we cover Who in America, Stuxnet, U.S. Reel, and Obama deregulation with a big, big question mark. So our first story, Obama formally welcomes Chinese President Hu Jintao, and we are going to go over that on upcoming episode 202, Who's On First. And again, and that's one of the great things about doing NewWorldNextWeek.com is we're able to get in some of the other connecting bits and give you, hopefully, some of the clues and keys and paths to go follow and flesh these stories out. So that's why we say we try and get at the story behind the story and give you the text and the context and the subtext. U.S. and Israel tested Stuxnet at Dimona. That's the story from the old gray lady, the New York Times. And our third story, in his own Wall Street Journal op-ed, Obama moves to the right on regulation. I should also remind you, there's a number of ways you can get New World Next Week. NewWorldNextWeek.com takes you to Blip, where you can get high quality, low quality, and the audio version. And I do the same, hosted over on my archive.org account. And again, all those links are all put up for you. Just trying to spread this information out on as many platforms as possible. So, speaking of my man, James Corbett, he is now back after a brief hiatus with episode 169, Argentina and the IMF, where they cast the eye to South America to focus on Argentina, a country that has found itself in the grip of the banksters for decades. James Corbett talks to Argentinian writer and researcher Adrian Salbucci and Canadian economist, the one and only Michel Chosedovsky, as they interrogate the Argentinian dilemma. We supply the links for you, those full interviews with Adrian Salbucci and Michelle Chosadovsky as well. If you have not watched the Sunday update that James now makes as part of each podcast episode, but as a standalone YouTube video, again, just putting it out as many ways as we can. The Sunday update is pretty much one of the best sources to break down what's going on in the news, and I think it makes a great counterpart to New World Next Week, or vice versa. So the latest Sunday update from this past Sunday, January 16th, gets into the Tunisian uprising and, of course, all the Soros and color revolution, intelligence revolutions, and a little bit of homeland stupidity, where James also shows another video he made as his own entry in the Stop, Think, Connect propaganda campaign from Reichland Security. And also, the website's been redesigned. My man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org, his latest episode, Blood Libel and the Grinning Egregore, featuring in-studio guests Tracy Twyman and Reed McClintock, all folks based here in the People's Republic of Portlandia. Before we reference this episode, Blood Libel, we definitely want to remind you one of the great ways you can support Clyde and Ground Zero Media is, one, hit the Donate to Clyde button right there for you. The other, and it'll help you and help Ground Zero Media, is you can get a copy of 2012 For Structuring the New Eon on DVD. This would be the 2+ hour presentation Clyde gave at the Kenton Masonic Lodge a few months back, breaking down the coming and current predictive programming leading to 2012 and all that that pertains to. But the Blood Libel episode gets into the continuing, surrounding, growing, strange memes of Jared Loughner and Arizona assassinations and bad dreams about the grinning bald man, which Clyde went over a few weeks ago, dreaming of Indrid Cold. And as Clyde says, they bring you the story before it turns into the news a few weeks later, and the surprises and great alternative media just keep coming. I can't stop myself, ladies and gentlemen. I have to keep making new websites. We have to keep making new ways to, again, spread all this information out. So here it is, and again, if you're watching this special audio video presentation, B-side episode 201 for MediaMonarchy.com, we've just launched HolyHexes.com to cover all the occult news going on in the world, and we do have one initial posting that we will get into. Governor quickly apologizes for saying only Christians are his brothers, and we'll take this from Canadian Press. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley said he was sorry Wednesday for his Inauguration Day remarks about only Christians being his brothers and sisters, and said he would work over the next 4 years for people of all faiths and colors. Bentley said he didn't mean to insult anyone with comments he made from the pulpit of a church once led by Martin Luther King Jr. He said he was speaking as an evangelical Christian to his fellow Baptist. The Republican is a former legislator and Southern Baptist deacon who emerged from the back of a crowded field to win the governor's office. He told the church crowd just moments into his new administration that those who haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior are not his brothers and sisters. Quote, "Anybody here today who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm telling you, you're not my brother and you're not my sister, and I want to be your brother." End quote. Some in the crowd at the church said amen, but groups representing other faiths in Alabama called the remarks shocking. Some of the links we provide to you, not the least of which is a quick video from Jordan Maxwell, who we did interview last summer, and again, that's in my archive.org archive. The term amen or amen, amen ra, gets into the mystery religions and Egyptology. We also have links to the source and ground zero, if you will, for this story in Alabama, where the new governor quickly apologizes for saying only Christians are his brothers and sisters. We do have a couple related updates. What's your sign now? Apparently, There are new zodiac signs and arrangements causing instant identity crises. More on that from clicktohouston.com as well as CNN. And I believe we mentioned last week, but here it is again on its new home on holyhexes.com. John Paul II, that much closer to sainthood. Those are the ridiculous occult memes we're going to try and cover on Holy Hexes. And again, we don't call it media monarchy for nothing. As the idea slowly comes together and forms for me, I'd like to create a family of websites that can hopefully be helped and run by other folks, handing keys off to folks. And we're working on that behind the scenes, and thanks to all the folks who are beginning to help, and thanks in advance to the folks who would like to get involved, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. Any of the particular areas that we cover on Media Monarchy, if you would like to be an editor in that area, whether it's Holy Hexes, Food World Order, Cyberspace War, or some of our other areas, War Whores and Geopolitics, we're building the kingdom, and we're going to turn the keys over to everybody. And I'll sit back and tint my fingers and say, excellent. So there it is, my friends, holyhexes.com. We'll now hop over to foodworldorder.com for a story from AllGov. USDA cracks down on honey laundering. The USDA is continuing its pursuit of illegal and sometimes dangerous imports of foreign honey into the United States. After the government in 2002 imposed a tariff on honey imported from China, the world's largest producer of the product, Chinese businessmen began using third-party countries to launder honey into the U.S. On August 31, 2010, a federal grand jury indicted five companies and 11 individuals for trying to pass off Chinese honey as coming from Russia, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Mongolia, Philippines, South Korea, Taiwan, and Thailand. In some cases, Chinese-produced honey was found to contain the antibiotic chlorpheniclol, which can cause serious health problems. Other contaminants have included traces of pesticides or industrial pollutants. The USDA is now attempting to adopt a new federal regulation requiring any imported honey sold in the U.S. to contain a country of origin label. And I think we could all agree we'd like to see that kind of labeling on all our products. Giving us consumers a little bit more information can make us make better decisions. That's all to say, the very least. Maryland orchard to pasteurize cider after E. coli scare. This comes from the Barf blog. In October 96, 16-month-old Anna Gimmestad of Denver drank smoothie juice manufactured by Odwalla Incorporated, now owned by Coca-Cola. They're based out of Half Moon Bay, California. She died several weeks later. 64 others became ill in several western U.S. states and British Columbia after drinking the same juices, which contained unpasteurized apple cider and E. coli. Investigators believe that some of the apples used to make the cider may have been insufficiently washed after falling to the ground and coming into contact with deer feces. Bowers Orchard and Farm in Westminster, Maryland announced to local fanfare and some consumer distress that it will change the way it produces apple cider in the future after E. coli infections were linked to the product this fall. More on this story from CarrollCountyTimes.com as well as FoodSafetyNews.com and more even from Barf Blog. Our last note on FoodWorldOrder.com, which again is where we're kind of working on updating our kingdom of websites. You may even notice I added some what are called glyphs to the titles that you'll see come up, and it'll be at the top of your browser. So look for those and look for other updates to slowly spring up around the kingdom. The last thing we're going to hit on foodworldorder.com is the January 20th binge and purge bailout pizza and GM eggplant. First, from shatterlimits.com, Domino's Pizza gets a $12 million government bailout Meanwhile, experts warn of food riots. Chew on that. A disgusting story I wish we had more time to go into from the Wall Street Journal. Africa's growing consumer class lures multinationals. Wonderful companies like Kentucky Fried Chicken. GM eggplant trial suspended in the Philippines. More on that from GM Watch. Think composting stinks? Here's a fresher idea from grist.org. And working at home to try and slowly begin composting. Because if you eliminate a lot of the other crap, you realize our trash is 90% food. Scraps. So, more on grassroots truth and labeling campaign from GM Watch. And our last note, the more Americans go on food stamps, the more money J.P. Morgan makes. This is on theeconomiccollapseblog.com, and there is a clip from Bloomberg TV that, as I was working on putting together my clips, I realized, oh, it's a year old. We played it for you a year ago on MediaMonarchy.com. So that's all from FoodWorldOrder.com and HolyHexes.com here on this B-side episode 201 from MediaMonarchy.com. We are going to continue into the world of alternative media. And we're going to continue for the remainder of this B-side episode 201 for January 21st, 2011 from MediaMonarchy.com on CyberspaceWar.com. And we will begin the way we ended on Food World Order with the weekly posting of horrible headlines on Food World Order. We call it Binge and Purge. On Cyberspace War, we call it the DEFCON. The January 20th DEFCON, firms, foes, and IPOs. Oh, there's always a backpedal. There's always some kind of, oh, steam valve. Some kind of change. And we reported to you last week, it was brought out with great fanfare, and that was, of course, the undoing of this story. Goldman Sachs won't let Americans buy Facebook shares, which is to say the SEC is not going to let Goldman Sachs buy Facebook shares with their whole scheme that they have set up. This links to allgov.com, and again, we went over this story for you last week. And I don't know what else to say about it. But all our other favorite big internet companies that pretty much have their hands in all of the pie. Google's Eric Schmidt has passed the CEO reins to Larry Page. More on that from Bloomberg. Apple's Steve Jobs takes another medical leave, raising questions about the firm's future. That's from the Washington Post. Just this morning, computerworld.com has a report in an article with Daniel Ellsberg, where he says that with WikiLeaks, Google and Facebook must take a stand, saying they need to protect privacy more. Trapster.com, which apparently is a massive site that lets people update and upload and input information about speed traps. Trapster.com is warning 10 million of their users about password theft. More on that from theregister.co.uk. A Q&A on the threat of cyber war and it's being overhyped. More on that from pcpro.co.uk. And our last note on the January 20th DEFCON, firms, foes, and IPOs. Dansho Danchev, a Bulgarian security researcher and cybercrime foe, has gone missing, and I think folks are assuming and fearing the worst. Furthermore, and for the second story that we got into in the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, Israel tested Stuxnet at Dimona. Surprise, surprise, another crazy conspiracy theory comes true. Israel, it's like they took pages from a spy thriller by building identical centrifuges to those at Natanz to test effectiveness of Stuxnet worm. Cryptagon carries the New York Times article where within an American nuclear intel expert says, quote, to check out the worm, you have to know the machines. The reason the worm has been effective is that the Israelis tried it out. In 2008, Siemens cooperated with the United States to identify vulnerabilities of their computer controllers the company sells to operate machinery around the world at the Idaho National Library. Laboratory. A leading nuclear research and development facility. The New York Times article concludes with this quote, and we'll just leave it there for you. The worm itself now appears to have included two major components. One was designed to send Iran's nuclear centrifuges spinning wildly out of control. Another seems right out of the movies. The computer program also secretly recorded what normal operations at the nuclear plant look like, then played those readings back to plant operators like a pre-recorded security tape in a bank heist, so that it would appear that everything was operating normally while the centrifuges were actually tearing themselves apart. Another update on this story from troom.us. Stuxnet is a violation of U.S. computer security law, and this is a repost of an article from Wayne Madsen. And again, just like any of the researchers and any of the folks out there, none of them are gods, none of them are infallible. I think Wayne Madsen does better work when it's in the cyber world. And he's quite correct. As Stuxnet, as a violation of our own laws. Furthermore, and again, it shows how many of these things are connected, and we do get into all of these things in a roundabout way on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com. China ups cyber war stakes. Northrop Grumman published a study, and we have the link to the PDF for you, of China's capability to conduct cyber warfare last year. And the present writer here on cyberspacewar.com, which is my man Alan in Omaha, who's doing a great job being an editor and writer for cyberspacewar.com, he suggests, as I do as well, at least a surveying of this PDF, of this report, an operational profile of an advanced cyber intrusion. The section contains a very readable review of a sophisticated data collection operation and intrusion upon large U.S. company networks. It's quite an education. ZDNet Asia also provides what's rather a more disturbing quote from the same document in their article, China's $90 billion in U.S. dollars ups cyber war stakes. Quote, document also claimed the country has stockpiled a kinetic arsenal that includes lasers, high-power microwave systems, and nuclear-generated electromagnetic pulses, EMPs, to supplement its cyber warfare force. It also claimed the country is training its forces to work under complex electromagnetic conditions, end quote. This represents serious and sober preparation for knocking out and operating computer systems under very harsh and adverse conditions. It's war preparation, clearly. China ups cyber war stakes. Cybersecurity expert Peter Summer of the London School of Economics warns nations against following the Pentagon's lead of developing a military division to defend against cyber threats in a recent article on NewScientist.com, where he says, quote, the military can only defend its own networks, not the private sector critical networks we all depend on for gas, water, electricity, and banking, making such military efforts a waste of taxpayer money, end quote. Summer, co-author of a very readable new report, Reducing Systemic Cybersecurity Risk, advises governments should quit panicking and take a disciplined approach. It's possibly time to sit up and take notice when this advice is coming from the very same author of The Hacker's Handbook, first published in 1985. This new report casts doubt whether cyber warfare will ever have a global significance on a scale of, say, a pandemic or a bank run. Summer feels it's more likely attacks on the Internet's routing structure will cause pockets of misery at the local level. PricewaterhouseCoopers, who tabulate the Oscar votes, their security manager, Jay Abbott, also believes the routing structure is vulnerable, saying, quote, short of physically cutting the wires, it's the best way to take down a country from the Internet. Internet routing structure most vulnerable. We have a few outer space ufology articles that we're just going to briefly mention on the Avebury crop circles that happened in England in 2008 that have interesting connections and clues and other interpretations to 2012, the Nibiru comets, solar conflagration, and all sorts of other things. We also wonder if the infrared astronomical satellite possibly spotted what's referred to as Planet X way back in 1983, another fascinating report. And also an article on flux transfer events, FTE. That would be when a portal opens in the Earth's magnetosphere. Those three articles are fascinating, and I can't quite wrap my brain around them enough to go into any kind of detail here, but it's the amazing kind of stuff that we're getting into on cyberspacewar.com as the site grows and goes. And we're going to close it all out with an article from newelectronics.co.uk. Connect to chaos. GM and IBM give the new Chevy Volt its own IP address. The Chevy Volt will be the first car of its type, not because it's a hybrid electric petrol vehicle, but because GM plans to give each one the company sells its own IP address. The Volt will have no less than 100 microcontrollers running its system from some 10 million lines of code. This makes some hackers very excited. And Adriel de Saltels, president of security analysis firm Netrigard, very worried. Before now, you needed physical access to reprogram the software inside a car. An air gap protected vehicles from remote tampering. The Volt will have no such physical defense. Without some kind of electronic protection, DeSaltels sees cars such as the Volt and its likely competitors becoming hugely vulnerable 5,000-pound pieces of metal. They end with a quote. We are taking systems that were not meant to be exposed to the threats that my team produces and plug it into the internet. Some 14-year-old kid will be able to attack your car while you're driving. Black hats are poised and waiting for this car to come out. Connect to chaos from International Business Machines, the final solutions company bringing us the grid, the global control grid, ultimately. And we're going to go out by listening to some of the PR coming from, and it's a wonderful little piece to tell you how fantastic it is, and we should also remind you of this connection to the Internet of Things that's also coming. But we're going to go out with this clip, and that's how we're going to close this B-Side Episode 201 from MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media. Become the media. Take care.
A smarter automotive industry is one that can foresee the future and then bring it to market now.
We're going to design, make, and sell the world's best vehicles.
This car is an absolute blast to drive.
With the level of technology that we're putting in today's automobile, the product development process is just like a rocket program. The Chevrolet Volt is an excellent example of that.
It's a transformational vehicle for a company like General Motors, and we had to collaborate like we haven't done in decades.
Having a good idea is half the problem. Getting that good idea to market is the rest.
If we look back to the 1980s, electronics comprised 5% of the content of a vehicle. Today, it's 40%, and within just a few years, it'll surpass 50%.
If we didn't move from a traditional metal, rubber, and plastic environment to very high-end, sophisticated controls, we would not be satisfying the needs of the customer.
For comparison's sake, to have an F-35 fighter fly takes about 6 million lines of software code. A Volt has 10 million lines of code.
It requires us to change the way we do work to develop our systems.
In the past, when we would design an automobile, we would have several years, if not a decade, to develop the automobile, the propulsion system. The Chevrolet Volt was developed in less than 5 years. And the only way you do that is via software simulation, computer simulation.
Even with all the sophisticated technology in the Volt, when you sit down in the car, you just have this really nice feeling that it's easy and fun to drive.
The Chevrolet Volt is really changing the way customers interface with their car.
For instance, the OnStar MyLink smartphone application allows the end customer to interact with their car, to lock and unlock the doors, to ask for the battery state of charge, to even begin preparing the vehicle, turning the climate control system on.
All of the systems in the Volt are integrated together seamlessly.
They all have to talk together. They have to work together. They have to check who's doing what, when, and where. You can see those same things happening at General Motors.
The Rational platform enables this globally distributed team to collaborate real-time on developing the system of systems.
Historically, the various departments, the various activities would be fairly independent in what they did. We've had some roles within our engineering operations that have had maybe 20 to 40% efficiency because they spend the bulk of their time keeping track of all of the people interacting and what they're working on, ensuring everybody had the right versions, the right information. It's horribly frustrating to the engineers. It tremendously slows down a development.
The IBM Rational platform based on Jazz automates some of this information flow. And it is precisely this automation where we see some of the efficiency gains in the product development arena.
With the IBM tools that we're using now and will continue to use in the future, we're able to tie these organizations and these requirements and the execution together in ways we never have before.
Our engineers really won't have to spend their time finding information anymore. When information's available to one, it's available to all.
We've now moved to the next step, a transformation of our company, a transformation of how we do work, a transformation of the products we're offering the customers.
The Rational platform will deliver business results in efficiency, time to market, quality, and overall customer satisfaction.
You know, the Volt project has been just utter excitement for the organization. It's something we put thousands of people on around the world working in this project, and something we're all proud of.
Accomplishing those goals in less time than we had ever spent on a traditional vehicle program. Truly the new GM.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.